Welcome back to the Fangirl Podcast. Today we have a special returning guest on the show. She is a hardcore super fan of Taylor Swift. She's also a HubSpotter and a dear friend of mine. Please welcome back to the show, Samantha.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Welcome back. This is your second time in the pod now.
Yes, and this is our first time discussing Taylor Swift post the Eras Tour.
It is. You are right. That's a very good point. So we went to the Eras Tour in May of this year, and it was maybe the highlight of my entire year, maybe my entire life. so much fun. Should we do a little brief recap of the Eras Tour real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fab. We tailgated, we put on sparkles, we had era themed food.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the upper deck, but honestly, the vibes were impeccable. I felt like I was in it.
The vibe was awesome. Like, we were in the 300 level seats. We saw her at Gillette Stadium outside Boston. And I just had so much fun with you guys. Like, we tailgated for maybe 2 hours before the show. We went hard on that tailgate. Like, I was very proud of how it all worked out, because we had like great food. We had cocktails, we had drinks. I like went super extra, and I made like little Taylor Swift inspired signs for each type of food that we had. So
we had such a good time. We didn't even make the openers.
I was thinking about that the other day. We didn't even see the openers because we were just having so much fun at our tailgate. So maybe next time I go to the Eras Tour, I'll actually catch the opener. But we had a blast. It was so much fun.
Make it an all-day event. Start even earlier.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, Taylor Swift, to me, that was my Super Bowl of the year. Mm. Like, that is the biggest thing that's happened to me probably all year. So
I know. And we'd love to do it again.
Oh, my God.
Tickets, but
you can only get tickets. Maybe one day Ticketmaster will actually work for me and I'll be able to get tickets. But we had a blast. It was so much fun. And I'm so glad you could join us again on the Fangirl Podcast today, because we have a lot to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
And today's topic is the deluxe tracks on the Midnights album. So let's just get right into it. So let's start with, I'm looking at the track list here. So after track 13, Mastermind, that ends the original album. And then Taylor re-released the Midnights Deluxe version a few weeks later, and she added 10 new songs, like brand new exclusive songs, to this Midnights album. So first of all, the Midnights album in totality is 23 songs, which is unreal. Like, I can't believe I can't even write one song, let alone 23 for one album.
Mm-hmm.
And it blows my mind how prolific a writer she is. And how she can just like, she can churn them out. She can churn out these songs. She is a songwriting machine. And she was gracious enough to re-release Midnights, the Till Dawn Deluxe Edition, with 10 additional new songs on the album. So first of all, mine's already blown just by that fact alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't sleep, apparently.
She doesn't. I don't know how she like gets any rest, because she's always writing. She's always making music. It's incredible. So that's the first thing that blew my mind. The second thing that blew my mind was the just variety of the deluxe songs. Like, there's 10 songs on the deluxe version, 10 additional songs on the deluxe version of the album. And like, each song I think is a little bit different and maybe doesn't entirely stay on the Midnight theme, but we'll get into it. So let's start off with track 14, The Great War.
Mm. Love.
Yeah, I don't know what you think about it. What do you think of the song?
I just think this is like peak Taylor storytelling. Like, not only, well, if I were to break down what I think's happening here, it's she's having this like argument or hiccup in her relationship with this person, and they're having to work through it, and she's having, you know, it feels like a war, they're having to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
But then like layer on top of that, like all of this imagery of war, of like treaties and poppies and like victory gardens, like it's impressive. And then the music itself is like a snare drum. So it's like all of these different elements that are like really painting that visual of what kind of battle she's walking into.
So that's a really interesting perspective, I did not think about it like that at all.
Oh, let's hear you.
So now I'm looking through the lyrics, like I can see your perspective better. But when I just listen to this, I feel like she is telling a story about like a war widow.
Like
from first point of view, from somebody who experienced the Great War. And another thing that struck me about the song is the Great War is a phrase that people use in the UK a lot to refer to World War One. And this song to me, so my mom is British. My grandparents served in World War II. They fought in the Royal Air Force in World War II. And the Great War is still talked about a lot in Britain. And this song to me is so British, because she talks about the Great War, which is, first of all, a reference to World War One, which many, many Brits died in World War One. And the second reference she talks about in the bridge, she says, you know, say a solemn prayer, place a poppy in my hair. A poppy is a flower that everyone wears in England on Remembrance Day, which is the British equivalent of Veterans Day.
Mm.
So it's so interesting, because this to me, it's so British. When I first listened to it, it reminded me immediately of the UK. So I thought of Joe, because he's British.
I'm sure her travels over there highly influenced the song.
Absolutely. And this to me, like, I wonder where she first heard the phrase the Great War. Like, I wonder if Joe had relatives or grandparents that had fought in the Great War, and maybe that's how she heard of it. Maybe that's how she got the idea. I have no idea. I'm just, you know, freeballing here. But now looking back on the lyrics, she's making an allegory between like a relationship ending. And I just had never thought about that before. So thank you for opening my mind today.
Well, I don't know if it ended, but I feel like, because she says, like, I felt threatened. I was, what does it say? Somewhere in the haze, I got the sense I was betrayed. She was like triggered from her past relationships and like didn't think he was being honest with her. But then she says, like, he looked up at me with honor and truth, broken and blue. So I called off the troops. So she's like, she realized it was in her head. It was like her past was like ruining her future.
Yeah. It's so interesting, because to me, this was like, you know how in Folklore and Evermore, she wrote songs from a different person's perspective?
Mm-hmm.
That was what I thought she was doing here in the Great War.
Mm.
That maybe she was speaking of, like, from a perspective of somebody who had experienced that Great War or that time in, you know, in history. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, for all we know, she was doing a tour somewhere in London and was like, this is a great story.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, but this song to me, I love the melody in this song. I love the lyrics in this song. I mean, it's really, I mean, just heartbreaking and brutal, but so beautiful in the same way. Like the first couple lyrics are, my knuckles were bruised like violets, sucker punching walls, cursed you as I sleep talked, spineless in my tomb of silence, tore your banners down, took the battle underground. Like, wow.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack there, yeah.
A lot to unpack there, a lot of consonants, a lot of like S sounds, which to me indicates like negative, emotional, kind of violent imagery. Yeah, it just, you know, this is just the first set of lyrics here is really, really complex.
Mm-hmm.
And the English major in me is like geeking out, because I'm like, this is so good.
Yeah. I like the lyric where she says, like, maybe it's the past that's talking, screaming from the crypt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you could just say like skeletons in the closet, or like my past trauma. She paints this whole image instead.
Yeah. Her vocabulary, top notch. Just so amazing. Like, does she write songs with like a thesaurus right next to her, or she just comes up with this on her own? Because I could never do that.
I don't know. She must be really well read, is another thought that comes to my mind.
Yeah, the other thing that blows my mind is that Taylor Swift did homeschool high school, and she did not go to college, but She has a PhD in literature and English and vocabulary and music.
Yeah. So true.
I'm like, geez, what was my degree good for? Oh, anyway, great song. Big fan of The Great War. Let's move on to Bigger Than the Whole Sky. What do you think of Bigger Than the Whole Sky?
I love this one. This is one that like gets stuck in my head. I just think it's beautiful. What are your initial thoughts?
I agree. It's so heartbreaking, but it's so beautiful. And this to me, I mean, when I first heard it, I was like, wow, this song could be like sung at a funeral. It's really, really sad. But to me, this is, it's a heartbreak, breakup song. And, you know, I think the chorus really kind of indicates what she's talking about. You know, it's goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. You are bigger than the whole sky. You were more than just a short time. I've got a lot to pine about. I've got a lot to live without. I'm never going to meet what could have been, would have been, what should have been you. So this is interesting because she's got a lot to pine about. So she's pining over something that she lost. I assume it's Joe. When I first read it, I assumed that this song was a breakup song about Joe. But now, looking at the second part of the chorus lyrics, what could have been, would have been, what should have been you. That reminds me of the song Could Have, Would Have, Should Have. So I'm not sure if she's talking about more than one person here. I'm not sure if she's talking here about her breakup with Joe or the breakup, for lack of a better term, with John Mayer. But Could Have Been, Would Have Been, Should Have Been really reminds me of the song Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, which is assumed to be about John Mayer.
Yeah. I don't think John Mayer was bigger than the whole sky to her, though. I'm going to go out on a ledge. But I do think, like, Taylor has talked before about how she has, like, a diary of just words and phrases that she likes and tries to work them into songs. And I'm sure one song inspired the other. She probably liked this, like, should have, would have, could have, and that theme, and probably applied it to two different parts of her life.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's really about John Mayer because he was a short-term kind of fling. Joe was a 6-year relationship. So part of me thinks like it was about Joe because she wrote this album. I mean, we don't know exactly when she and Joe broke up, but I'm feeling that it was late 2022, maybe before the Midnights album came out, or maybe she wrote this song after Midnights came out and decided to release it as a bonus track. I mean, I don't know, but like,
yeah,
the timeline of when they broke up is really curious to me because I feel like a lot of her more recent material has been about her last relationship, which was Joe Alwyn.
Yeah, definitely.
So I mean, this is about Joe. I don't know, but either way, it's just really sad. It's a beautiful song, but it's so sad.
I know. And I do get the sense like there's like some organ chords in the beginning. It feels very like they want to take you to church, to a place of mourning. And then the lyrics are definitely sad. It's like a moving on. It's a goodbye.
Yeah, it's a goodbye. It's a goodbye to a relationship or a person. It just, it's a beautiful song, but it does make me very sad, unfortunately. So, well, moving on to a song that makes me happier is the song Paris.
Yes. Yes. I will admit this was not my favorite song when I heard it, but it has grown on me.
This song I love so much.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, yeah, let's hear. Why do you love it so much?
I love it for a couple of reasons. So the song is so catchy. It's so fun. It gives me like New Romantics vibes. And it's like very poppy. It's very like start of a new relationship. It's very romantic. It's, you know, cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. It's very like dreamy and childlike. But also, I lived in France for a year post-college. And it reminds me of being in Paris. And it just brings back a lot of really happy memories for me. So I really love this song. What about you?
Okay. I do love that it's like one of the pop tracks on this album because I love Pop Taylor. I know we've talked before about how like Reputation was one of my favorites, but she was like a moodier pop for sure. But yeah, so this is one that will like definitely wiggle its way into your brain and you'll find yourself singing it. I just think I don't love the chorus. I think that's because it's very simple. It's like just fun. We were in Paris. We were somewhere else. Like we were in Paris. It's like
Yes.
repetitive. I think I've gotten accustomed to crazy Taylor Swift imagery and big vocabulary words. And this was definitely like a pared back, just fun
Yeah.
song.
I would totally agree. Like going from Bigger Than the Whole Sky and the Great War to Paris, it's like, whoa, we went from like AP literature to preschool nursery rhymes. I'm not trying to like demean or diminish the song in any way because I love the song, but yeah, it's much more simple, much more joyful, more, I mean, it's less verbose, it's pretty, it's just a fun little ditty.
Yeah, it's a little form of, I think, escapism is what she's talking about here.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's a really fun song. So yeah, stumble down, pretend alleyways, cheap wine, make believe it's champagne. I was taken by the view like we were in Paris. So this to me is like she's trying to, like, there's stuff going on outside the world. People are talking, shit's going down, but it didn't affect them because they were in Paris falling in love. And it's just so
yeah.
sweet. I love it.
They were in their own little lavender haze, if you will.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Their own lavender haze. Nice. So moving on to the next track, High Infidelity. What do you think about this one?
Well, this one's very important to me because Taylor Swift says forever, my birthday in this song. She says, do you really want to know what happened April 29th? Well, I'll tell you, April 29th, 1995, Samantha Verzella was born.
That's your birthday. Oh, I love
It's
that
my
so
birthday.
much.
Yeah, so it's kind of like fun to be like, oh, it's a little, I have some personal connection to it.
It's
How
her.
many dates does she sing about?
Exactly. It's her love letter and her happy birthday wish to you.
Exactly. I'm sure she was thinking about me when she wrote it. But
Yeah.
The unfortunate side of it is I wish my name or my birthday was in a happy song. This is about a day that she cheated on someone. So mixed bag.
That's true. So this song to me, this song, like it's all Jack Antonoff all over it. And pretty much all of the bonus tracks, I feel like the bonus tracks could have been their own album, like the Taylor and Jack collaboration album, because all of these tracks to me are just so Bleachers and Jack Antonoff sounding. The lyrics are uniquely Taylor Swift, but the backing music to me is so electronic. There's not like any acoustic guitars going on here. It's very, very Bleachers. So I love it for that reason because I'm a huge Bleachers fan. But all of the lyrics here are very, very Taylor. So this song, I guess I just like, I listened to it a few times. I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. This is kind of fun. But I didn't quite get it at first. And High Infidelity, when I first heard the title of the song, I immediately thought of the Nick Hornby book, which is called High Fidelity. Infidelity, you kind of have to read it twice to think like, oh, it's about not fidelity, but the opposite of fidelity. And it's about, as you said, cheating.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I immediately went to, I'm like, this is about, like, when do we think Taylor Swift cheated on someone? I think a lot of what we know through the media is like she moved very quickly from Calvin Harris to Tom Hiddleston. The breakup was not well. I think there was some like Twitter backlash from Calvin after they broke up. So you're like, okay, this didn't end on a great note. And some of these lyrics are like, put your records on and regret me. Put your headphones on and burn my city. I'm like, this sounds like a DJ.
Yeah.
Or someone who would be more of like the song creator that Calvin is.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. Could be a Calvin Harris throwback here. But the next part of the song, you know, storm coming, good husband, bad omen, dragged my feet right down the aisle. At the house, lonely, good money, I'd pay if you just know me seemed like the right thing at the time. So like, whoa, what is happening here? Right, drag my feet right down the aisle. Like, what is that referencing?
Yeah, I get the sense that like there was just a lot of misunderstanding in this relationship. Like, I didn't know you were keeping count. You said I was freeloading. Like, I just think they had different images of each other than was, or at least for her. I think this boyfriend, lover, saw her in a different light, and it almost felt like she was keeping things from him because he wasn't really seeing the real her. And I think she also takes a lot of blame in this. Like, I think she's very transparent in like that she was not upfront, that she did keep secrets.
Yeah, it's really like just it's kind of throwing me because like there's so much going on in this song, right? Like I love the like the first lyrics are lock broken, slur spoken, wound open, game token. I didn't know you were keeping count. Like the game token thing to me is really that's a great phrase to put in there because it kind of evokes this like they're playing games kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's just so much going on in this song and like it's a little hard for me to like wrap my head around. Like I think it is about, you know, her cheating or not being kind or faithful to somebody. But it also sounds like it's two people that were on totally different pages. So like maybe the other person thought this was a relationship, but Taylor thought it was a casual situationship, but she's accused of freeloading. I didn't know you were keeping count.
Yeah.
It's like a back and forth kind of like she's defending herself in this song.
Yeah. Yeah. I get the sense that it was a kind of a disaster from the beginning.
Yeah. So where do you think she was April 29th?
I had at one point watched some TikToks on this. I think that timeline was very similar to the Met Ball Gala, where things kind of went down. I think it was like a day or two before or after that.
Yeah, so the Met Ball Gala is the first Monday in May. So April 29th could have been like a pre-party or something for the Met Gala.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or just like there was a hard conversation and then she was next seen asserting her independence. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I reading the lyrics now, I'm just like, wow, this is something I'm going to have to think about for a long time because it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's like a back and forth here. I can't quite identify what it is about the song, but I don't know. It's like perplexing me a little bit.
Yeah, what I would give for a Taylor Swift tell-all.
Oh my God, if only she would give us like a little hint about who this one song is about, then it would be like, oh, that makes sense. But we'll never get that, unfortunately. So anyway, moving on to a song that I really like on the album. I love the song Glitch. What do you think?
I do like it. I think that this is a song that I'm still trying to interpret. I don't have like a full-fledged image of what this is about. So I'd love your interpretation. But from like the music perspective, it's kind of like, I like that it starts with kind of like the fuzz of a record. Because they always talk about like skipping records or like there was a glitch, it didn't spin, like, you know, I feel like they're that imagery kind of carried throughout. I thought it was just like the sound and the lyrics created one nice package.
Well, I think you nailed it. Like there was a glitch, like something happened that should not have happened, and she's creating this story, this relationship about a glitch. So like the first lyric is, we were supposed to be just friends. You don't live in my part of town, but maybe I'll see you out some weekends. And then the chorus is, I think there's been a glitch. 5 seconds later, I'm fastening myself to you with a stitch. I'm not even sorry. Nights are so starry. Blood moon lit. It must be counterfeit. I think there's been a glitch. So it's like, we weren't supposed to be in a relationship, but now here we are. So it's kind of cool because it's like, this wasn't supposed to happen. If there's been a glitch, I was supposed to sweat you out, but it's been 2,190 days of our love blackout. The system's breaking down. So it's like she's meeting somebody who she's not supposed to fall in love with, but she did. and now the system's breaking down because of this glitch.
I at one point saw a TikTok about the 2000, that number held a significance, but I don't remember what it was.
2,190 days. Well, it totals up to 13. 2 plus 1 plus 9. Oh no, that's 12. Oh God.
Oh, we'll have to.
Math is so bad.
I forget, but maybe we'll have to do a fact check on this. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it did have some sort of significance with her relationship with Joe. I think maybe it had been that there were that many days since it had been released or something. Because I did see some TikToks spinning this of like, is the glitch the breakdown in her relationship with Joe? But I do think it's more of a like, we were supposed to be just casual lovers and it turned into like an actual romance.
I think it's a Joe reference because like, I think it was in Paper Rings. It was, you know, she mentions something about like being just friends and now we're in a romantic relationship. I think it was a song Paper Rings. I'd have to go back and double check, but it's like, I can't think of the lyric, but basically the same idea. Like we were supposed to be just friends and now here we are. What happened? Because holy shit, this wasn't supposed to happen, but now we're here due to this glitch.
Yeah. So I did find 2,190 days is six years.
Yeah.
Which is how long her and Joe were together.
That's Joe. Wow.
But is the blackout, since our love blackout, is that the glitch that started the romance or is it the glitch that ended the relationship?
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think it's going to be the glitch that ended the relationship. Maybe the one that started it and the one that ended it. Because, you know, we were supposed to be just friends, but there's been a glitch. So it sounds like there was a glitch at the start and the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
Wow. She's so good at like putting like, I love how she uses numbers in the songs to kind of like give us hints about what is happening or the timeline here. Like she's playing a lot with time and numbers on Midnight specifically because, you know, the album covers that make the clock, countdown to Midnight's at the Eras Tour. Like she's doing a lot of numerology on this album and I'm here for it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so fun. So fun. Cool. So moving on to the next song here, it is Would've, Could've, Should've. And I think we've got a lot to unpack here.
This is arguably one of the better songs on the album. Mm-hmm. I really feel like it deserved a spot in the main tracks. But given the topic of this song, I can understand why she wanted to leave this narrative out. Like, I think if it had been, it would have distracted from Midnight's because this is so blatantly about John Mayer.
Yeah, so this song to me is like, I heard it and I was like, holy shit, like I can feel the trauma that she experienced in this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. Like if this was on the original track list for Midnight's, this song would have taken up all of the space and it would be the only thing that people talk about. They wouldn't have talked about Antihero. They wouldn't have talked about Lavender Haze. They wouldn't have talked about Vigilante shit. This would be the song that would be all of the headlines, every mainstream media outlet, everywhere.
Yeah.
And this song is like, it's pretty triggering, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
If anyone's ever experienced, you know, a sexual assault or harassment, like this song, I think would be pretty triggering because it is very, it's very powerful. And clearly, if you're a fan of Taylor Swift, you know what happened with the John Mayer saga. And this to me is like, it's just, she's still holding on to this and still affected by it so many years later. So I think it's maybe for the best that she didn't put it on the original track list because it would be the only thing that people would talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's clearly like a very much a loss of innocence here. I feel like we grew up very similar ages to Taylor Swift, and like what I would have given for this song during my first breakup. Like she's basically like calling out, like, did I even impact you? Like, you have this huge weight on me. Do you even remember me? Do you even like,
This
did I
song
scar
is
you in any way?
totally like so there's so much going on in here. So I really appreciate how there's so much like religious imagery in this song. Like, all I used to do was pray. I would have stayed on my knees, and I damn sure never would have danced with the devil at 19. And the God's honest truth is that the pain was heaven. And she talks about, like, let me find the other God. Oh, God, rest my soul. I miss who I used to be. The tomb won't close, stained glass windows in my mind. So there's a lot of like religious imagery here, like in a church, in a cathedral, the devil, God, tombs, would have stayed on my knees as if she was praying. You're a crisis of my faith. There's a lot of like faith and religion kind of interwoven here in this song. And for me, it's so like you could almost make an allegory here to the Catholic Church and how they abused young boys and just let it happen. And I think what you said, like, and I'm not saying Taylor Swift is accusing anybody of doing that, but like there's a lot of very similar imagery here in this song. And to me, I'm reading this and I'm like, every lyric just hits me in my feels. Like the first lyric or the first set of lyrics is, if I was some paint, did it splatter on a promising grown man? If I was a child, did it matter if you got to wash your hands? So it's like she was so affected by this, but the person, John Mayer, if we're gonna name the person here, was seemingly unaffected by this, and like how unfair that is to experience that in your life.
And I think she talks about in Dear John of just like how she was warned that she shouldn't be dating this person, but she proceeded anyway and she danced with the devil here. And I think that this crisis of faith also could be that she was 19, he was a grown man, she might have lost her virginity to him, and then he, like, clearly this relationship didn't work out. And I'm sure that if she grew up in the South, I'm sure that weighed on her of like the decisions that she's made and if they were worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so funny because like did you see the movie Promising Young Man, Promising Young Woman with Carey Mulligan? So I think it's interesting how like she uses the phrase promising grown man in this set of lyrics because like usually in the media whenever there's a sexual assault they talk about the woman or the girl as being drunk, wearing a short skirt at a party, whatever. She was, quote, asking for it. But they always describe the attacker as a promising young man on the football team, on the swim team, came from a good family. And I think like it's so interesting here how like it's not interesting, but it's she did this on purpose. She used the phrase promising grown man on purpose because this grown man should have known better because she was a child. He should have known better. He got to wash his hands, but it still really affected her. So,
Yeah, that's spot on. I also like the lyric, and now that I know, I wish you'd left me wondering. Because if we go back to like our sophomore year English, the term no was very much used as like we were intimate with each other. We know each other. I don't know if you read like The Crucible, that was like a common thread of things we talked about. And
Oh,
if we are going back to this analogy of like this could be about her giving him something she wasn't really ready for, it's like now that we've been intimate, I wish you had left me wondering because the pain of it, of like that, those memories hurt so much more.
yeah. She just, this is a song about regret and pain and suffering and how, like, she wishes she had never even gone there. She wishes she had never danced with the devil. It's a really sad song and it really makes me feel like remorse and regret for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the chorus is so, so good. Like singing this song, I actually love to sing this song because the notes are beautiful. The scales she's singing are really beautiful. I love the tone in which she's singing, and it really picks up in the pace too. It's like, you know, the end of the song is really, really fast paced. It's almost like her heart is beating really, really fast here.
I like that. Yeah. Another layer to this is I did see a TikTok where they looked up John Mayer's house at this time, like where he was living in New York City, and it was a converted church. So like the stained glass windows in her mind might actually be like memories of being in his house or being in his bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a really good shout. I also saw that on TikTok. And again, kudos to Taylor Swift for adding these really tiny specific details into the songs to tell the story.
Yeah.
Just her attention to detail is impeccable.
This outro is like up there with the, what we call it, the bridge of like Death by a Thousand Cuts for me. Where she's just like hitting you line after line with these really impactful sentences.
Oh, totally, totally. So the bridge is, if clarity's in death, then why won't this die? Years of tearing down our banners, you and I, living for the thrill of hitting you where it hurts. And this line gets me every single time. Give me back my girlhood. It was mine first. Ugh.
Yeah.
My heart breaks every time I hear that. Every single time.
Yeah.
And this to me really makes me think like she was intimate with John Mayer. Maybe she did lose her virginity to him. She regrets it. It sounds like he was, you know, this to me gives a hint of like assault or, you know, something inappropriate happened. He made her feel very uncomfortable. I'm not making accusations here, but like, something really traumatic happened to her, and she's still years later regretting this. And it just makes me sad, you know. And like, I feel like if anybody who's been assaulted or, you know, sexually attacked in the past, I think this would really, it would resonate.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, the end of the song is so incredible. It builds and builds and builds, it's really fast paced. And it really just reinforces the fact that she still really regrets this. You know, I regret you all the time. I can't let this go. I fight with you in my sleep. The wound won't close. I keep waiting for a sign. I regret you all the time. Wow. Yeah.
It's like you're tossing and turning in your bed. It's just like, oh, all these thoughts are present.
Totally. So I can see why it's on the Midnights album, because this is definitely something that would keep me up at night.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. So moving on to the last song here on the bonus tracks, Dear Reader. This is a good way to end the bonus tracks. It's like a pretty mellow song. It's like easy listening. It's very relaxed, very kind of low cadence, low pace, low tempo. Just a good way to end the album. What do you think about this song?
Yeah, I agree. It almost feels like it's a recap of like, here are the lessons I've learned through all of these experiences that I just went through with you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like giving advice to her fans. And I love how she says, Dear Reader. It kind of reminds me of like a newspaper column, like a Dear Abby kind of column.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And when she re-released, I believe it was Speak Now, in the note from Taylor to her fans in the album, she used Dear Reader as part of the text.
Yeah.
So she's kind of repurposing the phrase.
I think she is also a prolific diary writer. Mm-hmm. And I know that she's gone back and reread through some of those. So I almost wonder if it's like to the reader who's now reading her diary many years like past. I think it's almost a message to herself.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the phrase, never take advice from someone who's falling apart. So maybe she's going back and rereading her diaries and being like, wow, I was falling apart at this point in my life. I'm not going to take this advice moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. No, I love the song. I think it's a great way to end the album. I really like the bridge here. So I wander through these nights. I prefer hiding in plain sight. My fourth drink in my hand, these desperate prayers of a cursed man, spilling out to you for free. But darling, darling, please, you wouldn't take my word for it if you knew who was talking.
Yeah.
So to that, to me, is like, you know, she knows, like, she's not the best person to give advice.
Yeah.
She's doing it now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and towards the end of the song, you know, she says, you know, you should find another guiding light, but I shine so bright, you should find another. So it's kind of interesting because, like, she's giving advice, but she's also recognizing that she's maybe not the best person to give advice. Or, yeah, you know, she gives advice, but sometimes she doesn't even take her own advice because, you know, she's not perfect. And as she says, never take advice from someone who's falling apart.
Yeah. I like the line, like, dear reader, the greatest of luxuries is your secrets. Dear reader, when you aim at the devil, make sure you don't miss. Because I think she was in a period of, like, overexposure. I think about Kanye when I hear those two lines.
Really?
She was at the height. She was everywhere. And she was easy to take down because she was so overexposed. And I think her and Kanye had, like, a lot of back and forth. And it was never final. Like, when she took that shot and said, I did not say that about the famous song. It wasn't a clean shot. Like, she left room to get pushback. And that ultimately led to her going into, like, hiding, which maybe this is, like, the part where she's like, you wouldn't, like, I'm alone now. Like, you shouldn't be taking advice from me. I've made all these mistakes. And now here I am drinking alone. No one sees when you're losing playing solitaire. Now I'm just by myself. I can't risk losing because no one's watching me anymore.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's a great song to end the album on. There's a lot to unpack here. I think the lyrics are so, like, the song itself sounds sonically is very simple. But the lyrics, again, like, they hold so much weight and so much gravity. So thank you, Taylor, for writing an incredible song that will keep me wondering about it for many, many days to come. And thank you for joining us again to talk about these.
Of course.
I love having you on the show because you are such a huge Taylor Swift fan and you are so well researched on your Taylor Swift TikTok theories. So thank you so much for being here. And we hopefully sometime this fall can do a little road trip down to Rhode Island and maybe go see a Holiday House IRL. Mm. That could be fun.
Maybe catch a glimpse of our girl. Yeah, that would be really fun. But thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you so much.
Love talking Taylor with you.
Yes, definitely. And you know what? When she re-releases 1989, we'll have to do this again.
We will.
Yes.
See what those vault tracks are.
Oh, can't wait for it. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.